And now on Wake Up Australia, the US Report with Eric Bain.
Indeed. How are you this morning, Eric?
Good day to you. I'm doing all right.
There we are. Eric is from Reason.com. Now, when we talk about the US President Donald Trump, I mean, what a week, I have to say. Seeing we haven't spoken to you for 7 days, since we spoke to you, he had his address to the UN.
Yeah, that's right. The first major address that he gave to the United Nations. Of course, Trump actually years ago mocked the United Nations on Twitter, making fun of those green tiles that are behind speakers when they address the United Nations. And then there he was this week up there in front of those same tiles. But addressing the United Nations over the threat of North Korea, and of course, this is something we've talked about the last few weeks. We don't need to rehash the whole thing. I'm sure your listeners are aware, but North Korea is sort of the ongoing nuclear tensions there, and Trump, not mincing words in any way, not sounding a diplomatic note, despite being at the United Nations, but saying pretty straightforwardly that if necessary, if attacked or provoked or threatened, the United States would utterly destroy the nation of North Korea. North Korea's state media basically responded to this by saying that Trump sounded like a dog barking. Was their insult. So, the words continue to fly back and forth.
They do indeed. He has, though, signed an executive order, hasn't he? So it will, I guess, enable the United States to ramp up sanctions?
Yeah, that's right. That is the next step here, is that there will be more sanctions applied to North Korea. Trump signed an executive order actually just about an hour ago here in Washington, placing more sanctions on North Korea on top of some that were already in place. This is basically just making it a little bit harder for other countries to trade with North Korea, certainly saying the United States will not engage in any trade with North Korea. And this is, as a diplomatic tactic, basically an attempt to bring North Korea to some sort of negotiating table over their nuclear regime. You would think that's probably the long-term strategy here, and that's that. As I said, just about an hour ago, that Trump signed that, and believes that this affects basically China's ability. China's central bank makes it difficult for them and some other Chinese banks to do business with North Korea.
Yeah, well, of course, that's fairly key, isn't it? I know, particularly the oil from Russia and China. There's limits on it now. It's been capped, but it hasn't been cut off altogether.
Yeah, I mean, there's always, anytime you're placing sanctions on a country, there's always the sort of humanitarian concerns there, right? And if you cut off supplies of oil or food or what, I mean, that's been the sort of standard tactic going back ever since the 1990s that the United States has negotiated with North Korea. And other countries have negotiated with North Korea basically in exchange for oil and or food when the country has gone through some difficult famines. China is the major trade partner with North Korea. Something like 70 to 80% of all trade that North Korea does goes across the northern border into China. And so that's, if you're going to put any pressure on the regime, that's where it's got to come from, because there's nobody else doing business with
it. That's about it, isn't it? Now, we've also got an attempt to redo healthcare in Congress after failed attempts. I mean, this has obviously been a fairly key policy issue with Donald Trump having to deal with what was Obamacare and what his own policy is going to be.
Yeah, that's right. This is sort of the ongoing attempt to repeal and replace Obamacare. That's the phrase the Republicans have been using in campaigns for years, basically promising that if they got control of Congress, they would repeal and replace Obamacare, promising that if they got control of the White House, they would do the same. They've finally got all those things, and they've struggled to actually get a bill through. The House did pass a health care bill back in the spring in May, an attempt to pass that same bill, and then a few amended versions of it failed in the Senate in July. And now there's a real deadline here, because the Senate has until the end of September, September 30th, to pass this bill with less than 60 votes. Typically in the United States Senate, you need 60 out of 100 votes to get anything done. You need a supermajority. But there are ways around that. And without getting into all the boring technical details, they have until September 30th to use one of those pathways to pass this bill with only 51 votes instead of requiring 60. And there are 52 Republicans in the Senate. So you can see, obviously, this September 30th deadline is important, because once that expires, then they would need Democrats to vote for the bill, and that's highly unlikely to happen. Within the next week, we expect another vote. This is another attempt, essentially, to repeal a few parts of Obamacare, some regulations, and ultimately let let states have a bigger role to play in healthcare decisions.
That's what I was going to say. So we know, obviously, roughly speaking, what the politics of the Republicans are on this versus the Democrats and obviously Barack Obama. But it's not like there wouldn't be a healthcare system involving government at all. You're saying it would be more state-based than federal.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, the changes that this bill makes, compared to where the Republicans were in April or May, the changes that this bill makes to Obamacare are much less severe. I mean, not enough that it's going to get buy-in from Democrats or anything like that, but I mean, essentially, this would just allow states, if they want to apply for waivers from the federal government to ignore some of the regulations that were put in place by Obamacare in terms of what individual health care plans have to have. And the idea being that you could offer perhaps lower quality health care plans that would be cheaper for people to buy. And that's, you know, it essentially gives states the flexibility to do that if they want. It would also push a lot of the spending that is currently done through America's Medicaid system. And Obamacare greatly expanded Medicaid for people who are up to about 133% of the federal poverty line. It would take a lot of that spending and shift that to the states, so that the money would basically be the same, but it would be all given to the states, and then the states could spend it however they wanted, which creates the possibility for experimentation and all sorts of different sort of healthcare systems possibly to come out of this. But it's kind of difficult to say exactly what the final product will look like, because we don't actually have like the final version of the bill is still being crafted. What is expected to be voted on next week?
Yeah.
So all the details are still somewhat in flux.
There we go. That's healthcare. Now, also, when we're talking about the U.S. and overseas or foreign relations, it's not all to do with North Korea. Some focus also on the Iran nuclear deal.
Yeah, that's right. This is a deal that President Trump has slammed since he was candidate to Trump, and in many ways rose to the top of the Republican primary more than a year ago by, you know, going after the Obama administration's decision to make in their final year that Obama was in office to sign this deal with Iran, lifting some sanctions in exchange for Iran promising to stop pursuing a nuclear weapon. Trump has said a lot of things about this deal, about wanting to get out of this deal and about wanting to repeal it or tear it up ever since he took office, but he hasn't actually done anything until this week to actually take steps towards doing that. So it now looks like Trump is going to decertify the Iran deal, which is sort of the first step towards getting out of that treaty, and then he's going to ultimately kick it to Congress and ask the Republican Congress to nullify the treaty or nullify the deal that the Obama administration made. So we're not, you know, nothing has actually changed yet, but this is certainly the first step down the road towards abandoning that deal.
Okay, we'll leave it there for this week. Thank you for that, Eric.
Thank you so much.
Eric Baim, our U.S. report, and Eric from Reason.com.